fourth reading of Parshas Ekev. Ba'esahi Omar Hashem Elai. At that time, says Moshe Rabbeinu, God accepted the argument, he did not wipe you out. And he said, after my second 40 days on the mountain, hew yourself out two tablets of stone. You now need to refashion the original luchot that were broken. You'll bring about, create replacements. You'll come up the mountain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also told me, you make yourself a wooden ark. And a wooden ark, of course, is where the tablets will be stored until Bezalel's ark gets made. And so Moshe Rabbeinu now goes over the details of the fashioning, the second set of luchos that were inscribed by God, the very same words that were on the first set of luchos, which Moshe Rabbeinu had to shatter. And Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly as he was told. And on the 40th day of his stay on the mountain, God inscribed the tablets according to their original text. And this is Aseres HaDibros, the very same Aseres HaDibros that the Jewish people received in amidst the fire on the day of the assembly when Hashem granted them mass revelation. Yichtev al haluchos in chapter 10, verse 4, kamichtev harishon, just like the first inscription, es hadvarim, aseres hadvarim, asher dibar Hashem aleichem, these words that God spoke to you. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, va'efen, va'edid b'nahar, then I turned, I came down the mountain, va'asim es haluchos be'arayin asher asisa, I placed the tablets asher asisi in the ark that I had made. This refers to the wooden ark. Va'yisham kasher tzivani Hashem, and there they remained as God had commanded me, and that's of course until the golden ark was built and the Mishkan was inaugurated. That's how the fourth reading opens. And then something very curious happens. Moshe Rabbeinu continues his narrative. Ovnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, nosu mi be'edeis b'nei Yarkon. They journeyed from the wells of B'nei Yarkon. They went to Meisera. Shom Meisaharen, there Aaron died. Vayikover Shom, there he was buried. Vayecha and Elazar b'nei Tachtav. And there his son Aaron replaced him. He was installed to serve as the high priest in his stead. We just traveled 38 years. Talk about time travel. Like, here we were, Moshe Rabbeinu was going back up the mountain, getting a new set of luchos, replacing the luchos, and now all of a sudden, like in one turn, we went from verse 5 to verse 6. All of a sudden, as if, you know, no interruption. Uvnei Yisrael, oh yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu continues. And the Jewish people and the children of Israel, nosu mebeitis bnei Yarkon. They went, where is Beitis bnei Yarkon? Where is Meiseda? Aaron died in Meiseda. Aaron died in Meiseda. Aaron dies in a place called Har Har. Vayikover Sham. Moshe Rabbeinu buried Aaron on the top of a mountain, one mountain on top of another. We never heard of him getting buried in Meiseda. The whole thing doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. So, and then it says, Misham Nasa HaGudgoyda. From there they went to Gudgod. Umin HaGudgoyda Yotvasa. From Yugudgod they went to Yotvas. Or Yotvasa. And over there, was Eretz Nachalei Moyim. How does one verse fit with the next? This whole narrative seems entirely disjointed. So let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, "Uvnei Yisrael nasu mibeedas bnei Yarkon meseda." The children of Israel traveled from the wells of Bnei Yarkon to meseda. Says Rashi here, spelling out his question, which he does not always do. Ma inyan ze lekan? What is going on over here? You'll never find a more disjointed verse. Here we are getting the luchos, and boom, now we're in Bnei Yarkon. And from Bnei Yarkon, we're going to Meseda. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu interrupt his words of rebuke, stinging rebuke, reminding the Jewish people about their stubbornness, as we learned yesterday, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to replace the luchos because he had to shatter the luchos because we behaved very badly, and we were going to be finished off. God said, I'm not going to have any more patience for this. I'm not going to allow these people to continue. So here the luchos get smashed. Moshe Rabbeinu has to replace the luchos. And then, as if suddenly a switch went off, Moshe Rabbeinu now starts talking about the history of where we went and how we went 38 years later. And then that's number question number one. So what's going on over here? Furthermore, v'chimi be'edas b'nei Yakon asolim meseira. Is that actually how the journey went? The journey didn't go from the wells of b'nei Yakon to meseira. That's not where they went. Haloi. In fact, the exact opposite is the case. Mi meseira from meseira bo b'nei Yakon. Exactly the opposite. In Parshas Matas and Masay, in Parshas Masay it says, Vayisu mi meseira. They set forth from Meseda, and the pasuk finishes off over there. Vayachanu b'bnei Yakon. They went from Meseda to b'nei Yakon, and here Moshe Rabbeinu inverts the order. All of a sudden, we're going from b'nei Yakon to Meseda. Question number two. Va'oid. Question number three. This is really astonishing. Shom Mesahar. Is that where Aaron died? V'halei b'heira harmes. It says very, very clearly that he died in the Har HaHor. And Seva Chashev, if you'll go and make the calculations, it's not a big deal, just count up places, you'll see Shmoina Masois mi Meseira Lahir Ha'ar, that Meseira Tahir Ha'ar is no less than 8 individual journeys. 8 journeys from Har HaHor where Aaron died to Meseira, where the Torah here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Aaron passed. So what's going on? So the first thing Rashi tells us is the biggest mistake we could make here is thinking that this is actually a narrative, a historical narrative, that before we talked about the rebuke, wasn't a historical narrative. Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioning events because he's emphasizing the mistakes we made, certain things that went wrong. And now he's just, you know, matter-of-factly talking about what happened. So that would be a big mistake. That's not the case. But the proper way to learn this is Ela af zo min hatechacha. This is also part of that rebuke. What's the rebuke? Here Moshe Rabbeinu is subtly rebuking the people for something that we never heard about before. We were included into this. That after 38 years of stubbornness, we made another enormous, tragic mistake. Huge. What was that? So this is part of the Techacha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, not only were you stubborn, not only did you make a golden calf, not only did I have to go and replace the Luchis, but you know what else you did? 38 years later, Kishameis Aharon b'Har HaHor, when Aaron died at Har HaHor, l'soif 40 shana, at the end of our 4-decade sojourn in the Midbar, v'nistalku anane kovid, and the clouds of glory at that point dissipated, which the Gemara in Tainus tells us on page 9, side B, the Gemara tells us over the Gemara that after Aaron passed away, that the clouds of glory dissipated, and only later did they come back in the zuchus and the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. But initially they were there in the zuchus of Aaron HaKohen, and they dissipated and disappeared. And when those clouds of glory, that protective aura, was no longer there for the Jewish people, what happened is they were attacked. And that's because the Amalekites saw that their protection had been lifted, and they wanted to exploit this. And we heard about this already. So Yireisim Lochem, you became very, very frightened, Mimlchemes Melech Arad, from the attack of the king of Arad. Who is the king of Arad? King of Arad is the king of Amalek. But he disguised himself. They were afraid to be Amalek because they thought if they're Amalek, they'll daven, they'll do something. So they assumed another persona. They said, we're like Canaanites. And they hoped the Jewish people would pray to be delivered from Amalek. But in fact, not from Amalek, from Canaanites, but in fact it was Amalek. So what happened is that, like it says in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, in the 21st chapter, it says, Vayishma HaKnani, the Knani heard, but it's not really a Knani, it's Amalek. And the Yeshiva, the Melech Arad, the Yeshiva HaNegev, king of Arad, dweller of the south, a desert dweller of the south, Vayilochem B'Yisrael, he battled against Israel. And so the Jewish people became so frightened. After 40 years of miracles, 40 years of eating manna, 40 years of having the miraculous water, Beit HaShomerim, 40 years of being protected, miraculous protection. 40 years later, this war happened, and v'nisatem reish l'achzor l'Mitzrayim, you decided, we're going to go back to Egypt. We can't do this. V'chazartem l'achareichem, you actually began a journey in rebellion to Hashem, contravening the explicit instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you went back Shmei Namasos. you actually started to retrace your steps to go back to Egypt 40 years later. A new generation. A generation that was never even slaves in Mitzrayim. A generation that hardly ever saw Mitzrayim. A generation that had known what happens when you violate Hashem's will, and 40 years later, you're at it again. You lose yourself, become terrified, and you start to go back to Mitzrayim. And you actually went back 8 journeys. You went all the way ad Bnei Yakon. All the way to Bnei Yakon. Umeisham, and from there you went to Meseda. And that's the meaning of Bnei Yisrael, Nasu Mebe'edas, Bnei Yakon Meseda. This is the reverse journey. Earlier when Rashi asked the question, it says it went from Meseda to Bnei Yakon. That's when they went going forward, getting closer to Eretz Yisrael. Here we ran away from Israel. Here we decided that we didn't have the gumption, the courage, the inner strength and mettle that was necessary. We couldn't face the sword. We wouldn't be able to do this. And what happened? What stopped this terrible downward spiral? Who stopped it? The Levites stopped it. V'sham nilchamu mibachem b'nei Levi. The Levites went and battled you. V'hargu mikem. And my dear friends, it was not a pretty scene. It was a bloody scene. The Levites killed many of their fellow Jews, having no choice, under the tutelage instruction of Moshe Rabbeinu. And don't think the Levites got away scot-free. Va'atem mehem. You killed Levites. A tragic civil war. But there was no choice. Either you're going to go back to Egypt, and you're going to give up on your peoplehood, or the Levites were going to stop this awful situation.
You mean they were actually battling each other?
They were actually killing each other. Actually killing each other. When we hear about the different families, that there are entire Levite families that are missing. Entire families are wiped out. Tragically. And this was an awful, awful event. Until, in the end, they got you to turn around. The Levites said, we're going to keep fighting. We'll kill all of you. And they had no choice. And finally, you restored the way. Bederech, Chazaroschem, you return back. Umisham, Chazartem Hagudgoida. And from there you came to Gudgoid. Gudgoid is Shehu Choir Hagudgoid. Umin Hagudgoda. And from Gudgod, you went up to Yotvasa. And Rashi says, Ubi Meseira, Asisem Evil Kovid Amisasi Shal Aaron. In Meseira, that's when you mourned Aaron. Because before, when Aaron passed, instead of mourning Aaron, you were busy running away from your destiny. There was no mourning. You weren't thinking about Aaron. They were thinking about fear. They were thinking about disaster. They were thinking about war, and they didn't want to face that. So instead of mourning Aaron, they were running away from the path that Hashem had charted for them. And so only in Meseda, after all this unfolded, here you began to mourn the loss of Aaron. Shegarma lechanzeis was the death of Aaron that caused all this to happen. Because Aaron's death was such a difficult experience of Jewish people, that Aaron, the person who stood down the angel of death, and Aaron who always rallied the nation, and Aaron who was the epitome of love and care and consideration. And when Aaron died, it literally dismembered the Jewish people. We fell apart. And therefore, after this whole story, this whole sad and tragic saga came to an end, nidmalachem ki'ilu meisham. It was as if he died there. Here you felt his death. Here you had a moment to reflect on what you had lost. And now, my friends, you know the rest of the story. So why is this rebuke juxtaposed to the rebuke of the breaking of the luchas? This is a very heavy rebuke. This is serious business. Once again, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't rebuke them in overt fashion. He doesn't stick it in their face. But he very gently reminds them of names, places, locations, events, and you put the rest of the pieces together. You understand by yourself. But why is that connected to the story of breaking the luchas? There are two very different kinds of rebuke taking place over very different periods of time. So here Rashi says, the reason that these two rebuke narratives are side by side, conjoined at the hip, it would seem, from verse 5 we go into verse 6. Loimar, to tell you, shakosha misasan shel tzadikim, that the passing of the righteous is as difficult and painful, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before God, ki yoyim shenishtabru b'haluchas, like the day that the luchas were broken. Ula'i diacha, and to tell you, shahukshu loimasha amru nitna reish, that it was so awful in Hashem's eyes when they said, let us make a new leader, let us make a new Rebbe instead of Moshe, was just as bad in Hashem's eyes as Lifresh Mimeno, to separate from Moshe, was Ki Yoyim She'asu Be'egel. In other words, rebellion against Moshe, rebellion against the Rebbe of the Jewish people, was like a rebellion against God himself when they built a golden calf. That's pretty heavy stuff. So now we understand the juxtaposition. First of all, now we know what's going on in verse 6. How did verse 6 and verse 7 come from? It doesn't even seem to make any sense. And now we also understand the deeper message as to why these events are repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu or alluded to in immediate succession from verse 5 going into verse 6 and then 7. So the Rebbe, analyzing this Rashi, asks a simple question. Page Kuf Lamed Aleph, Siman Yud Zayin. Rashi's words are, Koshom Misosom Shel Tzadikim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The passing of a tzaddik is so difficult. Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before God. Before God. So the Rebbe asks, Tzorach Bir, this needs to be better explained. Lama Madgesh Rashi, why were those two words necessary? In fact, if I would bold and delete those two words and read it, you would probably not know the difference. We would read Rashi like this. Kosha misoson shal tzadikim ki yoyim shenishtabru ve'aluchas. The day tzadikim pass on is like the day the luchas are broken. Fine. Statement. That's it. Why do you have to have Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it only before God? Why can't you just say Kasha? It's difficult. Lufnei who? Whatever. Figure it out. For God, for us. So the Rebbe says, Yeshleimar Shakushi Shebishnei Sugim Uros Eilu. There is an inherent problem in the juxtaposition of these two very different kinds of events. Namely, Misoshon Sel Tzadikim, the passing, the dying of a tzaddik, and Yoyim Shenishtabru Behalucha is the day that the tablets were shattered. Why is this? So, the truth is that these two are Ochein Be'iker, the primary difficulty of these events is Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is before God. Because Avur B'nei Yisrael, for the nation of Israel, Yeshlem Urois Elu, there are for these narratives and events, Gam Mashmois Chiyuvius. There's also a positive side. The silver lining, but the silver lining is for us. Silver lining is not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this mean? Let's take one event at a time. Let's talk about Misosan Shel Tzadikim. Let's talk about the passing of the supremely righteous. Harek Var Pidush Rashi. Rashi already said, Biyachas. The Misas Miriam, with regard to the passing of an earlier tzedeket, namely Miriam. There, Rashi speaks about the fact that Miriam's passing is discussed in Parshas Chukas, and he says, quote, Lama nismecha Misas Miriam leParshas Paraduma. Why is it that the Torah gives us the narration, the details of the passing of Miriam, one of the most supremely righteous human beings ever to walk the face of the earth? Why does the Torah juxtapose that to the Parsha, to the Torah's discussion and commandment about the Paradum, about the red heifer? And Rashi answers that question, quoting our sages. He says, Lo yimar lecha, this comes to tell you. Ma korbonos mechaprim, just like korbanot offerings, animal offerings, just as they bring atonement for the nation of Israel, af misas tzadikim mechaperes, so too, the passing of tzaddikim serves as an atonement. There is a letter that the Alter Rebbe wrote to his colleague, Rebbe Lev Yitzchak Berditchev, when the latter lost his son Meir. And his son was an amazing tzaddik. This is why there's no Berditchev Chassidus. There's no continuation, because Berditchev's son died before him. And he was shattered from this, from the death of his son. So the Alter Rebbe wrote him a letter to comfort him. And the letter begins, opens with the words, Lama nismecha misas Miriam leparshas parah adumah. And the Alter Rebbe asked the question, if it's because korbanos are mechaprim, if it's because offerings bring about atonement, so why parah adumah, which is a strange kind of offering. It never makes it to the Mizbeach. In fact, it's not even killed in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not even on the Temple Mount. It's across the Tyropian Valley in a different mountain in Harav Mishcha. Like, it's not even a korban, it seems. And the Alter Rebbe there explains how the Paraduma represents the highest level of holiness, even transcendent of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the highest level. At any rate, here's, without going into those details, here is a clear upshot. The death of tzaddikim has a silver lining for us. What's the silver lining? It brings kapara. You ever know, sometimes people have something go wrong, especially Sephardic Jews, what's the first response? Kapara, kapara. A beautiful vase falls and breaks. Go, kapara, kapara. What's kapara? Say whatever. If there was some kind of negative energy directed our way, so it got spent this way. Taken out elsewhere. So this is the idea that sometimes one event could be in lieu of something much worse. We have the origin of this idea is when it says that God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and this was, it's in and of itself a kapara. This was an atonement for the Jewish people, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have spent his fury on flesh, bone, and plasma, and we'd be finished. Instead, it says, Shafach HaMosei, God spent his fury al Eitzim v'Lavanim, on wood and on stone, meaning on a structure. And that was for us an enormous favor, because it's much better that a building gets destroyed than a nation gets destroyed. As in when the temple got destroyed, correct. So there is an idea of kapara, an expiation. Something happens instead of something else. There's a halacha that says that, God forbid, when somebody loses a parent, when you sign your name, say the person's name is Shlomo ben David, you sign Shlomo ben David Hakam, Hei Chof Mem, Hareini Kaparas Mishkovei, which means I should be an atonement for him. I once asked a very erudite person, what does this mean, Hakam? I was a teenager, didn't understand. He said to me, it means I wish it would happen to me. Very succinctly. But this is how a child says, I wish whatever negativity is coming my father's way, my mother's way, should come to me. This is an act of respect for our parents. That as they're going through the difficult adjustment process, after passing, we say, it's happened to me. That's because there's a certain connection between parents and children, that a child who loves their parents, want anything to happen to them, and shouldn't want to protect their parents. Just like initially parents want to protect their children, later normal children want to protect their parents. So this is the idea that there's a kapara that came our way. Passing of Aaron, a tragedy, a huge loss. You don't need an imagination to see what a loss it was. It literally ripped the people apart. It almost ruined our whole plan, our whole destiny. We almost didn't make it, if not for the Levites. The Levites saved us. That's why the Levites have this special position for posterity. Because twice they were ready to pick up a sword and do battle to save us. Once with the golden calf, and the other time with the situation that happened where we ran away after the passing of Aaron. However, the silver lining is that it brings about a kapara. The Rebbe says that in truth, the same thing also happens with regard to the tablets. Where do we see that? The shattering of tablets is the most awful event. However, Rashi and Parshas Kisisa tells us, Sheshvirus haluchas noyada, that the shvira, the breaking of the shattering of the tablets, served lahakel mechumras chataegel, to minimize and mitigate the intensity of the sin of the golden calf. Because if the full negativity of the golden calf unfolded, we would have been in some very big trouble. Really hot water. This served lahatzil as bnei Yisrael. As Rashi says there, that the Jewish people were betrothed to God, and then there was this disloyalty, lack of faithfulness, and the punishment for that is capital. So what did the Shushbin, what did the good friend of the king and the queen do? He tore up the marriage contract. And the king wanted to prosecute his wife, and he said, you can't. You're legally bound. There's no contract. And because of this, the execution was stayed. And because of this, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is in the metaphor, the Shushbin, the lover, and the avuncular friend, so to speak, of the king and the queen, saves the queen, saves Am Yisrael from punishment that would have come our way because of the golden calf. So in other words, the shattering of the Luchos is an awful and terrible event. Terrible thing. It's a true tragedy. But at the same time, there was an enormous silver lining. Better the Luchos get shattered than we get shattered. And that's literally what was at stake.
And on the second one, where the Malach
But no, the one with Amalek is that we lost when Aaron died, but on the other hand, it was a kapara for us. Right? So the Beth of a Tzaddik is a kapara. The shattering of the Luchas, that was our kaparas, literally. You know, say the chicken will go to death, and that's what kaparas. The Luchas were our kapara. The Luchas got broken, we got saved. And so the Rebbe says that's why Rashi is so precise in his verbiage. The Kosev, and he wrote, Kosha misasan shel tzadikim, and Rashi added two words, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because b'yachas lebnei Yisrael, insofar as bnei Yisrael are concerned, murois elu mevi'im lidei mechila v'kapara, these events, tragic as they were, they nonetheless brought atonement for the nation of Israel. The ikra kushi, the real pain, the real tragedy, the real, so to speak, suffering, is lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the Almighty. This is very apropos. Today is the Yahrzeit Hilula of the Rebbe's father, passed away before his time because of his dedication and devotion to Yiddishkeit. And we say that Misasan Shel Tzadikim is a kapara, so today should be a kapara for Am Yisrael, and there should be only good news in Eretz Hashem. You should be able to see the coming of Mashiach finally, and the end of all kaparas, once and for all, on the end of all negativity, v'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.